Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Louis from Parler.
I'm Jeremy from Parler.
I like revisionist history. It's a lot more fun. There's always stuff between the lines that nobody knows. And I love filling in tiny little blanks to get you going. Like there was a fist fight involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was yelling across the street involved.
Well, we've known each other for like over 10 years. We haven't been playing together for over 10 years. But like Alex and I were pretty much enemies for the first 3 years of knowing each other and playing together. We really didn't like each other. We were the opposite side of the same coin, really. So there's lots of tension. And I knew I wanted to play music with him. I'd been out of touch with him for about 2 years, and I saw him at a show, and he was still the same bastard as he'd always been. And he was talking trash and just wouldn't stop talking, and I just clocked him. I just punched him in the face, and it turned out that it was one of his old band's CD launches. So it was kind of full circle sort of evening. You know, classic story. I just clocked him in the face. He shut up. We kind of looked at each other, and there was like, are we going to confront each other right here, right now? Are we going to actually have a fight? And we just made up. We just made up, and it was a nice story.
I feel like so warm and fuzzy now.
Yeah.
We used to play in different bands, and we played together a lot of the time. Louis and Alex were in one band, and I was in the other, and we'd always try to one-up each other. But beneath all that animosity, I thought Louis was a pretty good songwriter. We both thought the Pixies were a really good band, yeah. Which like that seems really common now, right? But like in the suburb that we were playing in, that was pretty rare actually.
Yeah.
So in Pointe Claire, we used to play a really awful bar called Clyde's.
I really like the line sloppy pop band. Mm-hmm. Sloppy pop band sounds so counterintuitive that I like that. So tell me about what is a sloppy pop band?
I think that was just to lower people's expectations when they came to see us live, because we're pretty sloppy in a tight sort of way, and we play pop, and we're never going to polish it. We're never going to be a polished pop band. So that's exactly where it came from. It was like we weren't going to be playing hard rock. We were writing pop songs. So it's like we're not alternative. We're not grunge. We're pop. But how do you get an edge out of pop without sounding like you're a top 40s band? You call it sloppy.
Reviewers spend a lot of time, you know, trying to come up with the sound. And they're like, and who do they refer to every friggin' time? Well, Brian Wilson meets the da-da-da, meets the yuck. And listening to the music, my next thing is, not really.
No, we've been told at the beginning of the band, we play shows, we play tons of shows, we meet managers and publicists who'd be like, great band, but you need to find your sound, like you need to find a sound, like you can't just be jumping all over the place, changing, exactly, I'm like, why not? My favorite albums are made up of tidbits of different types of music that make me love all types of music, because the artists are so varied. So unfortunately, a lot of people these days stick to a sound and hope that one song comes out, it seems, as opposed to being creative and letting whatever song they want come out and really loving and giving as much love to that song as possible.
Do you want to conquer the U.S.? Do you want to be playing massive stadiums? And
do you want me to answer this truthfully?
I mean, we go to the U.S. all the time, so we better want to do all right. Yeah, but to think of it in those terms is kind of like, you know, setting yourself up for like, I mean, to say you want to play big stadiums and you want to be a big star, like it's not really in our control whether people like what we do that much or not. We're just, you know, going to write songs that we think are good and play music that we think is good. And you know, we'll go to the States, but like, you know, if people like it, they do. If they don't, they don't.
And it's like, you know, wouldn't you rather be walking down the street, minding your own business, finding a suitcase filled with millions of dollars unexpectedly? You know, you haven't been working towards that goal, but bam, it's there. As opposed to buying your lotto ticket once a week and then just waiting the entire week. This is my way out. That's my ultimate goal, winning the lottery. It's not realistic, especially these days. There is no rock and roll dream to be had for any indie band. You can only expect a comfortable living if you're lucky, and a lot of good times. That's really the goal. I want to get back home after, you know, the tour and hopefully find a job real quickly so I could pay off my rent and eat. And that's the reality of things. Like, my boss told me straight up, like, well, you want your job, it's a good job, or do you want to go have fun on tour? And like, in a condescending tone, I'm like, why? I've got to go on tour. Like, I have no choice. I need to, you know? So that's the life. That's the life. Parents are really proud.
And yet you're with a label, and you're not just with a label. You're with a label here in Toronto that's a pretty well-known indie label.
I don't think we selected any label. No, we didn't really have any other options. I don't think there was much interest or many offers on the table, man. and not only that, but like, to have some, we got picked up 2 years after the first album was released, and then they re-released it then. So to us, we thought the album was kind of dead at that point. So we felt pretty lucky to have somebody still interested in picking us up after that much time. But it was a good decision. Like, it allowed us to make this record. This time around, though, like you say, festivals, like you're playing festivals. I think that's status quo. You have to, like, the label is going to make sure you're going to be playing these industry sort of festivals. And that's what we spent the last 2 years doing. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to play bars and play for people. Like, you're a nice guy and everything. But we sent you our CD, so you listened to it. You didn't go buy it in a store. Maybe you would have, but I don't think so. But maybe you would have. You know what I mean, though, right? Like, there's some kids who haven't seen us since the first record because we haven't been able to go on tour to their towns because we've been doing this sort of stuff, you know? Talk to the bands. Bands need to be vocal about what they want, and they need to step up and do what they want. If they want to just wait for the big shows and hope for that big ticket, that's fantastic. Like, that's their prerogative or their plan. But if you want to play a show and you want to get sweaty and you want to see some kids laughing and, like, you know, sell an album, sell somebody their first album or something like that, that's really what I remember from music when I was a kid. And not being able to do that as much as possible is what's hurting me the most, I guess. Yeah.
You're not messing around here. You had a real producer on your record, right?
I mean, Martin Horn kind of opened up his own studio, Digital Bird Studios, and it started off as a really cheap project. So the first record we did, we did it for less than $1,000. And we did it with him at his studio. And then the studio kind of grew at the same rate the band's resources grew. So we made like a record that cost a little bit more money, but we stuck with him because we had a working relationship. And with his studio again, but with, you know, some better gear, a piano, all these things that you hear on the record. He definitely had a hand in it. We produced it along with him, but all the song arrangement structures, all that stuff is the three guys in Parlor. And then a lot of the sounds on there were influenced by Martin and his partner Tyler, and he did a great job. And the record totally, in my opinion, wouldn't have sounded the same with any other with working with anyone else. He definitely had an influence on it.
Yeah, I don't think he has a sound. He's got a touch. He's got the Martin Horn touch. I think we again, this is a guy we've known from the like years ago. So this isn't a guy we just met and said, like, will you produce our album? This is a friend of ours from like our youth, who grew up with us. And so we all grew up in the 90s, you know, we all grew up with the same sort of albums out there and everything. And we all like the same stuff. So yeah, technically speaking, you could start from the 30s all the way up to now. Like, those are my influences. Like, every generation had their sound. It's just, it's trying to not cherry pick, like, oh, remember the 80s wave that came? That actually sounded exactly like the 80s. You don't want to sound like the 80s. You don't want to sound exactly like what you're referring, right? So you want to have the big Phil Spector sound mixed in with some grunginess of the Flaming Lips, plus some like poppiness of the Beatles and Beach Boys mixed in with a little bit of Dirty Soul. And like, you know, you want to pepper it all over the place. You don't want to, even some Violent Femmes on there. I'll say there's a song on there that Violent Femme sound, really.
Montreal sound, Canadian sound, it keeps going up. Well, they sound like a Canadian band. How do you sound like a Canadian band? Is, you know, I'm not quite sure I understand that.
I can understand the Canadian thing. There's been like a thread in Canadiana sort of rock for like the past, I don't know, forever. But Montreal sound, I find that just a bit silly. I think that's a bit ridiculous, especially for Montreal, when you go there and you're never really going to find the same act twice. You're going to find similar shit, but everyone's trying to do something different, really. I have a hard time finding another parlor in Montreal. I have a hard time finding, you know, even another Arcade Fire. I don't know any bands that really aspire to be Arcade Fire in town. They're the Montreal Sound, I think, that everyone's referring to. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think maybe people outside Montreal hear it. We hear it for other some other cities. We hear like a Toronto Sound where people are really broken social scene influenced, or, you know, New York, we go down there and there's always a band that sounds kind of like they grew up listening to the Strokes. We don't really aspire to that, or we don't hear a lot of our friends aspiring to that either. If anything, it would be a reaction against it. You know, we really don't want to sound like Arcade Fire. We really don't want to sound like Wolf Parade, even though that was a really good band. You know, just if anything, we're reacting against that.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs is the bread, and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.
Oh,